The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and in our Bismarck studio is Sue Belcom from the Root Cellars Farm outside of Mandan. Sue, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, Ashley. It's good to be here.
It's a wonderful time of year when the garden is overflowing. Sometimes people feel a little overwhelmed and wondering just how many tomatoes, how much corn, how many carrots you can eat. But then, of course, you got to remember you can can those and have them all winter long. So, Sue, we need a lot of tips on canning, and you sent an email with a couple bullet points to talk about, and I'm just going to confess ignorance here because you say pressure canning, and I'm just wondering, is there a difference between canning and pressure canning?
Absolutely, and it's so funny because I do some pressure cooking and some pressure canning, and I remember making ribs and sauerkraut for my aunt and uncle and everybody at Easter time. And, you know, the first words out of someone's mouth when you tell them you have a pressure cooker or a pressure canner is, "You're going to blow yourself up." And I'm like, no. It's not that different from water bath canning, but you do need some special tools and a little bit more knowledge, I guess, about what you're doing.
Okay. So the special tools, just the pressure cooker?
Right. You need a really good pressure canner. Now, do not use your pressure cooker for canning and vice versa. You don't want to bits of food in your pressure canner because that gets on the outside of your jars and, yeah, it's just gunky. So I have two separate units that I use for pressure cooking and then pressure canning. And it's hilarious to me because my daughter-in-law wanted an Instant Pot. And so I have to laugh because an Instant Pot is basically an electric pressure cooker. And just because they call it an Instant Pot, now people can't say, "You're going to blow yourself up."
There's marketing geniuses everywhere. So
the difference between the water bath canning and the pressure canning is that pressure canning is basically what they do to can food that you find in the grocery store. And you can actually buy cans and pressure can in cans. But I do it, of course, in my jars. And you have to pressure can low acid foods. You cannot water bath beans or corn or meat or any dairy products like that. You have to absolutely pressure can those. So if you're new to canning, you should stick with the water bath canning method. And for that, you can use tomatoes and fruits.
Oh, good. So I'm right just because those are the things I have.
Well, you know, and this is the time of year where when I come home from work, I'm like, "Let's see, what should we have for supper?" And you can kind of like just walk around the garden, grab some tomatoes, grab a pepper, grab a zucchini, and you can cook right out of the garden. So this is my favorite time of year. But like you said, when you have excess that you just don't know what to do with, you really have to learn how to can. It's really, really, really the best way to preserve food, because in the event that your electricity goes out, you know, your freezer will thaw. Well, unless it's December in North Dakota, then maybe it won't thaw. But, you know, it's the best way to preserve things, and you don't have to worry about anything except your seals breaking.
Okay. What's your sterilization method for the jars?
The best thing that you can do is wash them in hot soapy water, and then I use my water bath canner with the rack in, and I turn the jars upside down, and I kind of keep the water at a low simmer whilst I'm preparing my food. So you've got your jars upside down. They're in the hot water. They're getting steamed up really good. As far as equipment for water bath canning, there are special grabbers that you can get for grabbing lids out of hot water and also to grab your jars. I always wear one rubber glove on my left hand because things get hot and you have to be very careful that you don't burn yourself. It's kind of like having a baby, you know, like, "Oh, it's time to can. Let's get the towels and the hot water boiling," you know. But it's so much fun and it's so gratifying too. You know, you've got your jars hot and you fill them with hot food and you put them back in there for the time, which I would totally suggest going to extension as far as finding recipes that are safe to water bath can, and then procedures, like time-wise. Some things you only need to water bath can for 10 minutes. Some you need to water bath can for 20 or 30. But it's not that difficult. And then you take them out of that hot water and you set them on your counter and you don't disturb them for 24 hours, but you're in front of the television and you're going, pop, pop, pop. That's joy. Joy to a canner's ears is when their jars seal.
Does it make much of a difference if you put the food in while the jar is hot?
You absolutely should have hot, when you're water bath canning, your food, like if you're canning tomatoes, you know, everything that's warm is better. You know, like you put your hot food into hot jars and then they go into hot water because, as you know, glass expands and contracts. And if you take a cold jar and put it into hot boiling water, the bottom's going to fall out of it and you're going to lose everything that you worked so hard to get in there. And so that's something that you really, really have to be careful with, which is why I put them in simmering water. You also have to simmer the bands and the lids when you're doing water bath canning, because then that way everything is kind of like close to the temperature that it takes to be safe. So when you put your jars under the water, they have to be completely covered with water in your canner. So some canners can hold 7 jars, some can hold only 5. I have a big, beautiful canner that I finally treated myself to. But I also have a glass top stove. And a lot of times people will say things to you that'll make you really terrified to can and eat any food. But it's really just common sense. But glass top stoves work perfectly fine for canning and pressure canning if you remember that you need a flat bottom canner. If you have a canner that has like the ridge underneath it, it traps hot air inside of there, which will cause that glass top stove to break. So get a stainless steel canner with the flat bottom and never, never, ever slide it across your glass top stove. If you just can something and leave that set there until you can empty it and lift it off of there, you should be fine. I've been canning on mine now for heavy-duty canning on mine now for about 7 years and have had no problems whatsoever.
So since you're hundreds of miles away and can't strangle me, I am going to admit that one of my earliest excursions in canning was a somewhat rare apricot harvest in my yard. I've been there 10 years, and I've only gotten 2 usable apricot harvests. And I picked up a French canning book because I like to pretend that my French is that good. And they don't do the putting the can in the hot water afterwards. They just turn the can upside down, or at least this book. And I did it, and I ate the jam, and I'm still alive.
Okay, so here's the deal. You're talking about a high sugar content preserve, correct?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So if anybody from Extension is listening to me right now, close your ears because I do that too.
Okay.
Like when I'm making jelly, you know, you've got boiling hot sugar syrup and you've got a hot jar and a hot lid, and we fill those up, leaving some headspace, and turn them upside down for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, turn them right side up again, and they will seal.
Yeah.
They may not seal for 7 years like my grandmother's jars did, but they will seal long enough for you to get that eaten. And here's the secret to canning anything, whether it's water bath or pressure canning. If you take it from your root cellar, wipe the top of it off with a towel because it's probably dusty. Remove the ring, and if that seal is broken, don't eat it. You know, that means that it's been contaminated probably. And if you do have something that's sealed that does have mold around it by some small stroke, don't eat that either. And if it smells bad or if the food is soft, throw it away. It's better to be safe than sorry. I don't know of any incidences where anybody's gotten sick since about the 1930s when it comes to canning. But you will hear, perhaps, if you're interested in canning, that back in the 30s, somebody died, like they killed off their whole family with peas or something like that. Well, I did a little research into that myself you know, when I did my cookbooks for the Germans from Russia, and they didn't use pressure canners back then. They had wood-burning stoves. So all they did was they boiled the life out of their vegetables like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
To can them. I know, right? So why would you want to even eat that in the first place? And then secondly, of course, this woman had not practiced good, clean canning, and therefore they all died. And I'm sorry to hear that, but really it is not as dangerous as what some people would like to believe. If you have questions, find somebody who's been, you know, canning for years. Jackie Clay wrote a great book about canning and preserving. I think she's from Minnesota. I had the pleasure of meeting her at a conference I went to. So when in doubt, seek it out from somebody who knows.
All right. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Ashley.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week to talk about food. She is with the Root Cellars Farm outside of Mandan.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.